about on the kind of device side? Because again, you touched on sort of your early phones. I think most of sort of our generation, you had either the enormous brick phones that you needed like several people to help you carry around, or certainly Snake was as exciting as it got. You know, in the early days, great game by the way. Bring that back. But you know, that's where we were, and again, very quickly we found ourselves in the space of smartphones, and they've evolved like beyond belief. Now we're talking around things like Apple Vision. It's phenomenal what the art of the possible looks like. On a device side, do you ever consider what that will be? You know, is the smartphone on a kind of ticking time bomb? Is that going to just disappear? Are we just going to all become like Michael Knight and it just you say words and a car will do everything for you? You know, that kind of strange being. I mean, we've got that, haven't we, right? We've got that in the Teslas and everything else. You know, we are there. So what about the hardware? Where are we going with that, in your opinion?
It's a really good question. I like thinking about this because it's fun to think about. One of our old colleagues, Mr. Lee Rathbone, back in the day, used to say like the mobile phone is like it's a dead man walking kind of things. And I always thought to myself like, I've still got plenty of time with that. But I think I'm now of that opinion, especially when we're getting these things like Neuralink, whatever it is, like the Elon Musk chip in the head kind of very first experiments. That's like that sci-fi nonsense that you never expected. But yeah, so I guess my vision or prediction is that physical hardware will become redundant. Like there's no need for it. Obviously, I mean, like mobile phone and tablets and whatever, like things will be like implanted into you, or you'll have some sort of wearable that just blends into your person that will bring up some amount of interaction, whether via your voice or very limited UI or stuff like that. Like, I mean, the smart watches is a great example. Like, we're already moving like the computer from your hand, computer to your wrist. Like, cool. There's rings where you can, with NFC chips in, where you can pay with your ring as well. Like, it's getting smaller and smaller, and that what's to stop it from, you know, going under the skin, getting implanted in here. Yeah, it's fascinating. I think the phone is a dead man walking, and probably won't have that much long left. I wouldn't dare to guess at a timeline because I'll be wrong. But it's fascinating. What are your thoughts on it? Like, have you the same mindset?
I think probably, yeah. But I think it's quite a difficult line to draw. So if you look at the different sectors, if you take healthcare, yeah, you can now swallow a pill that effectively is carrying a little micro robot that will traverse your body and report back via Wi-Fi to a consultant's system, where you've potentially, not even like actually, but potentially going to run into organ problems, organ challenges. And just because this, it's a little bit like that film with was it Steve Martin back in the day? He's driving around your body in a little tiny spaceship because he got shrunk down. You can actively take tablets that will do those kind of things. You can wear invisible patches that will test your various levels in your body. Yeah. So it's a fine line between that being tech for good, very much tech for good, and you know, the quite invasive, quite intrusive ability to read everything that's going on with you as an individual or as a group, versus the more cynical side. You know, I mean, anything that comes out of Elon Musk about going in your head, I'm going to be last in that queue personally. Not sure about anybody else. But I do think having any kind of carryable device, you know, we've had wearables now for a little while. I think anything that you have to carry and like you say, physically interact with, as opposed to just think about doing something, I think that's probably where we're going to be. Yeah, I mean, normal glasses, we are but probably a very small skip of a stone away from every pair of regular wearable glasses having that kind of built-in intelligence. But then you've got like the other side. So, you know, you are, I said at the beginning, a huge advocate of next gen talent coming through, and you know, as you sort of indicated, you started going down the teaching routes. It's kind of obvious why you lean to that support of the next gen kids coming through and offering that up. How do you continue to go, yeah, get into tech, it's ace, when you yourself are sitting there thinking, no, run away because you won't have a job.
I guess so. For me, I guess there's two sides to this. One is sort of the more human side of it, which is I'm very grateful for the situation that I'm in and would like to sort of, you know, I've had many of wonderful, brilliant mentors and people lifting me up. So I'm just trying to pay it forward, pay it backwards, whatever it is. So, I think that's really important. And the other side of it, obviously, like, I think as we've both sort of said, like, whatever the technology of the future is, it is technology. We're not going to be going backwards. Like, okay, now everyone phones away, like fax machines back out. Like, so we need more of those engineers to support the future. And I'm always a big advocate of saying, like, one of the most powerful things, just from a career standpoint, at least during my time of career, one of the most powerful powers anyone can have is the manipulation and control of a computer system. Like, it doesn't matter in what form, like, that is what companies require because of the need of technology, the pace of change, and so on. It's vital that you have the ability to manipulate a computer. You know, whether it's coding, you know, like what I do now, like direct coding in an IDE to make an application, or in the future, prompt engineering, whatever AI development, whatever that looks like, it's going to still be very lucrative, very required. It's just the scope of it will change. So, yeah, I guess my message is don't run from technology, embrace it and keep learning. And that's the other problem with this nonsense technological career that we decided to choose, is that you have to constantly be learning, because otherwise you're immediately redundant. You're gone. Like, if you're not, like, I'm constantly watching YouTube videos, learning about this library or that library or this update, that SDK, reading articles, all that stuff. And I think if I didn't do that for like a couple of months, like if I said, okay, I'm gonna have a learning hiatus for 3 months, I think I'd come back and be like, I don't know what I'm doing, and move to Mexico. That would be the solution to that problem.
But the good news is, you know where to go to learn the language.
Wait a minute.
So this is all your plan. This is all a big drawn out plan. You know, it started when.
It's coming back round. It's coming back round this whole time. Checkmate.
Who's driving the change, do you think? Is it has it swung to the technologists, the guys like yourself who've, you know, invested their life in understanding the tech, learning the tech, living and breathing the tech? Is it us effectively in the industry driving the evolution and the pace of evolution, or have we become such a demanding society of everything being on tap, completely on demand? Split second, I want it now, that actually we as consumers, because we are both consumers and technologists, of course, we wouldn't want to go backwards. You're quite right that the fax machines are not coming out, thank God, but yeah, we are consumers as well as builders. So where's the needle swung to at the moment? Is it the pace of demand and the expectations of human beings and businesses? Or is it us in tech kind of going, this is just freaking cool, we can make, like, you know, this go 20 times faster, or do something with you know, fresh air and just call it technology? Where's the needle, do you think?
I'm going to take a bit of a cynical view on this, because I think the needle and the power is essentially in the corporations, for lack of a better word. Like, the money drives everything, right? And we can see some sort of evidence of this by the fact that, like, you know, when smartphones first came out, right, there was this excitement, this new thing, and then it seemed like they were getting better and better and better, and there's sort of a plateau. Like, obviously very technical terms is not particularly, but there's sort of a plateau, and there's iPhone 12 and 13 and whatever, right? And they all are the sort of same thing. They've not been iterated on to make them particularly innovative or anything over time. And that's simply because the money is in the new device every year that shouldn't be too different from what people want. And that's the problem, that the money, in my opinion, is the deciding factor. I think people like me and you that get hands-on with stuff, we are driving the change, but it's what, how much of an effect that we can have on actually pumping that stuff out. You know, like I deal with loads of really fantastic, marvelous, really cool tech all the time. 90% of it never sees the light of day because it's just not, it doesn't, you know, it's either something that I'm playing around with, something that wouldn't sort of match our use case, or just something that, you know, just doesn't make sense. You know, that's a very, very cynical view, and I apologize about that. But yeah, like, I think the open source community, that's somewhere that's really driving innovation. You know, there's no sort of, in 99% of it, there's no, like, money particularly driving the decisions. It's library authors and stuff, you know, initially kindly basically making a product for free, giving it to people. Those people are using it, they're giving feedback, and they're innovating over it. More people are joining in, more people are learning. Newer, cooler creations are being spat out. And obviously, like, now I guess this can sort of be seen in sort of like the AI situation, like OpenAI. You know, I'm very cynical. I apologize about that. But yeah, I think I'll stop there.
I don't think it's really that cynical, is it? I mean, it's got to start somewhere. And that's I've always wondered, random off on a tangent, this is going to be a great edit, I tell you. I've always wondered, as an F1 fan, you know, who makes that first decision that everybody else then copies? And I don't think it's quite like that, because there's a rule book of change and everyone has to stay within it. But somebody kind of does something that's top secret, and then suddenly everybody knows about it and they've all copied it. But then you kind of see everybody rush, a bit like sort of five-a-side school football, run after the same ball, kind of not really understand the risk. You know, and Gen AI is a really great example of that. Everyone kind of understood the risk of open source round about the time we were both at Verigroup, when kind of BA got hit with an attack, and everyone kind of went, right, if you got open source in your stack, we're done, we're moving away, we're going to throw thousands of pounds worth at licensed commercial products as opposed to open source. Everyone got really spooked by that, understandably, but they did. But then somebody starts these trends, and you know, I mentioned cloud earlier about cloud being the thing. Now all of a sudden, you know, a lot of the, again, I talk to some businesses and certainly read a lot of articles, and the bigger corporations are suddenly moving away from cloud, partly because of the cost, partly because of the complexity to keep the solutions safe, partly because their customers are very unique. They like to think they're unique anyway, and so building out this kind of single platform that services all is not necessarily where these corporations that you talk about want to be. And so they're trying to build things that gives them a lot more bespoke ability, flexibility per customer. And so they're pulling back from some of these trendier, more buzzy things that were all the rage. And everyone's kind of looking over the shoulder going, "Where's everyone else? You were here a second ago. I'm now out here wondering where all my support's gone." So a bit like everything else, you know, fashion, hairstyles, music, everything seems to go around in cycles. Do you think tech will ever go backwards in any sense? Do you think we'll reach that kind of point where I almost got to earlier in the question, we'll be forced back because of risk, or forced back because of cost, or forced back because Elon Musk is putting chips in everyone's head? Or are we just going one way?
Wow, interesting. Very interesting. So the idea of like going off of cloud back to on-prem is something that's kind of like interesting, like you're talking about. I've not heard of that from my circles, but I can understand, you know, sort of why, you know, the whole vendor lock-in situation, like you're entirely dependent on this one other company. If they go bust, you're gone, bye-bye, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, going backwards other than that, I've not put much thought to it, I don't think. I don't know why, but Dune, right? Dune the movie, Dune the book. There's the whole thing about the, this is not an answer, by the way. This is just me going off on my tangent now. I apologize, especially to you for the edit. But there was this thing called the Butlerian Jihad, right? Where all the robots and the thinking computers were essentially banned and removed. And they, in the Dune world, went backwards and they got rid of like computers and AI, artificial intelligence and stuff. And they instead, well, they started taking the drug, the spice melange, to make them all clever. And anyway, getting weird with it. But like, maybe if June did it, maybe that's our future as well.
Well, like we said, Hollywood seems to predict that between Hollywood and The Simpsons, all our answers are there, right? They've predicted everything between them, so we're all good.
I just wanted to say the words "butler and jihad," like that makes me sound really clever when I have no idea what I'm talking
totally
about.
Totally cutting that one out and putting it in a Christmas special. That's amazing.
Yeah, sorry, that was a garbage answer, but there you go.